this morning and go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 16. And I'm going to try to prove our sister pastor wrong and finish a message. I'm just kidding. I am going to try to finish it, but that would just be the cherry on top if I could prove him wrong while doing so. He knows I'm kidding. If you're visiting with us, we want to let you know how much we appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for coming. You're an honored guest, and we're grateful to have you. And if we can do anything to help you, help pray for you, you let us know. I hope you got a chance to fill out a visitor's card and got that in the offering plate. If you didn't, you can see me after the service, and we'll be glad to assist you any way possible. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 16. If you will, let's stand to our feet. Stretch your legs a moment, and we'll reverence God's word as we read together. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. I know this is a very familiar text, but it's a very powerful text. This is not a parable. This is not any kind of allegory. This is a historical event that took place. There was really a rich man, and there was really a man by the name of Lazarus. And Lazarus went to paradise, as we know, in Abraham's bosom. And then when Jesus died on the cross, Jesus went and set captive free and took those that were in paradise. And now, this morning as I speak, Lazarus is in heaven. Ain't that a blessing? However, the contrast to that, just as true as Lazarus is in heaven, the rich man is still in hell this morning. And hell's a subject that preachers have gotten away from preaching about. Used to, preachers were known for preaching about hell. And if you want to know the truth, and I challenge you to search this out. It's a fact. Jesus preached way more about hell than he did heaven. And so for us to avoid the subject would be a detriment not just to ourselves, but to those that would hear what the Word of God has to say. The Bible has more to say about hell than it does heaven. And so we cannot afford to avoid the subject of hell. Hell is a real place. Hell is burning beneath our feet this morning, and sadly, the Bible says it enlarges itself every day. Hell was not created for men. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, but because of sin, sin has plunged mankind into a one-way street headed for hell. But by the grace of God and but for the blood of Jesus shed on Calvary, you can get off of that road, and you do not have to go to hell when you die. Ain't that a blessing? I'm glad to report to you this morning that I'm not headed for hell. Our youth group sang, I believe last week, the song, I'm not going to hell. And praise God for that. I'm not going to hell. Not because I'm good, not because I'm a moral person, not because I'm a preacher, not because I'm a church member, not because I've been baptized, but because I've been born again by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for by grace are you saved. And listen, I thank God this morning that you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. But I want to preach this morning around this subject, on the subject, there's no excuse because you knew. And I want to look at the rich man this morning and prove to you that he knew what he was headed for. And you'd say, well, surely he didn't. He had no idea he was headed for hell. And he had no idea. He was probably an atheist. He probably didn't even know about God or believe in God. Well, the Bible's very clear that he did. And yet he still ended up in a place called hell. And so if that can happen to this man, I want for every one of us to challenge our heart this morning and search our heart. Because, listen, eternity is too long to be wrong. You can miss a lot of things, and you can fail subjects in school and fail tests and still be able to pick yourself up and move on and be a successful person. But if you miss this, you've missed it all. And so let's look at this in detail as we go along. You can have a pocket full of gold and not have a heart full of gold, and you'll go to hell. And when you die, you'll go to hell. You can have all the money in the world, as the rich man did. It fared sumptuously, had everything he wanted and more, but it wasn't enough to keep him out of hell. Statistics say over 150,000 people die every day globally. Close to 2 people per second drop off into eternity. Think about that. 2 people every second out into eternity. Headed for one of 2 places, heaven or hell. And that's where you will end up. One of those 2 places. I don't care what religion says. There is no such thing as purgatory. There is no in-between. There is nothing like that. God is clear. There is a place called heaven, and there is a place called hell. And you and I will end up in one of those 2 places, not just for a while, but forever. Being that 150,000 or 2 people per second die and drop off into eternity, I would say that the scene we just read in Luke 6, chapter 16 has been replicated over and over and over again and continues time after time after time. Not only then, but today. People that we know today will face eternity. Many of your family and many of my family have already come up to this thing we call death, and they have stepped out of life and stepped off of time out into eternity, and they landed either in a place called heaven or, sadly, in a place called hell. People that you love, people that you care about, people that you have known your whole life, people that maybe children that you've raised, maybe a mama or a daddy that raised you, maybe a co-worker that you worked with for years, now they're burning in a place called hell. Are they rejoicing with God in heaven? With a subject so sober and serious, you would think we would hear more about the subject called hell. As a matter of fact, I would say just since the time we woke up this morning and got out of bed, drank our coffee, showered, shaved, and got dressed and came to church, there's no telling how many hundreds and thousands upon thousands that have already dropped off into a place called hell just this morning. I'm not pausing to think of something to say. I'm pausing to let that set in. Thousands of people this morning have dropped off into a Christless eternity with no hope. No hope. It's a place where there's weeping and wailing and screaming and gnashing of teeth. The same things this rich man screamed and wept over. They're not begging for an ocean full of water or a huge lake full or even a gallon of water. The rich man, he didn't even say, "Can I have a cup?" He begged for one drop. Can you imagine the agony and the anguish and the hurt, the writhing pain, the swollen tongue that is cleaving to the top of his mouth, that he would be so desperate to just to plead for one drop? Yeah. Have you ever went to the refrigerator and be very thirsty and been out working and sweating and you get to the refrigerator ready to just pour you a big glass of something cold and you get in there and some little hellion child of mine has drunk the very last bit of the tea and there's about that much in the bottom of the jug. And I say, "Don't put the empty jug back in the refrigerator. I had my hopes up. I was wanting something cold to drink." And they'll say, "But Daddy, there's a little bit in there." And I'll say, "That's just enough to make me mad. Just enough to make me mad." But can you imagine this man in hell being in such torment that he didn't even ask for a cup? He just wanted one drop. And yet you got these wicked hirelings and heretics who say that hell's not a literal place. I'm talking about so-called preachers, and it strains my imagination to call them a Christian, much less a preacher. When they take the Word of God, and all through the Word of God, we read where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and a place of torment, a place where the fire is not quenched. And then they say that it's not a literal place. It's just separation from God. That's hell. Being separated from God forever is hell. I'll give you that. But you can't just highlight and take a whiteout marker and remove all the verses out of the Word of God that speaks of plainly and clearly, not allegorically, but literally, a burning fire. Burning fiery furnace called hell. It is real. And sadly, we know many that are headed there. If you want to know the truth, everybody look up here at me for a moment. There's people in this room. If you don't get saved, you will go to hell when you die. Church membership will not get you into heaven. Baptism won't get you into heaven. Living good, tithing, saying prayers, reading your Bible. None of those things will get you into heaven. This rich man was squealing and moaning and begging for this drop of water, begging for hope, begging for help, begging for one more chance at repentance. only not to not get a response. Look at verse 29 again, if you will. The Bible said in verse 29, Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. The worst part of this story is that the rich man knew about all this and never did anything about it. You say, how do you know he knew? Listen to me. When Abraham said that they have Moses and the prophets, which consist of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then all the prophets, which is the rest of the Old Testament. Notice the rich man's response. He didn't say, well, who was Moses? When Abraham said they got Moses and all the prophets, the rich man knew who Moses was. The rich man knew who the prophets was. He didn't ask the question, well, who were they? No, he knew, meaning that he had been to church before, meaning that he had been down to the synagogue before. He had sat in Bible class before. He knew, he knew. You never read where he says, I've never heard of the Ten Commandments. I've never heard of Moses. We know this man was a Jew because he calls Abraham father. So he was accustomed to the Jewish custom and to all that went on at the synagogue and in that religious error. He is a seed of Abraham and he has been to the synagogue, heard preaching, read the Old Testament. He's well aware of what's coming, but despite all he knew, he did nothing with none of it that he heard. And please hear me. You can, in America, especially in down south where we live in what's known as the Bible Belt, you can knock on any door, and I have. I can't hardly find a lost person. I mean, just ask them. They'll tell you, I'm saved. I'm saved. I belong to this church, and I got baptized here, and they know the lingo, and they know how to talk, and just ask anybody, and they'll tell you they're headed for heaven, and they're saved. But I'm here to tell you, knowing in your head what the Bible says, and knowing what religion consists of, and knowing that Jesus died on a cross, may I remind us all that the Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. The devil watched Jesus die on the cross. He absolutely believes, I mean wholeheartedly believes, that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. He believes it. Believing that that happened as a historical fact is not enough to get you into heaven. And this man, he knew, but he didn't do anything with what he knew. I want to preach this morning on this thought. There's no excuse because you knew. You knew. There's no one person under the sound of my voice this morning that will go to hell and not know it. I'm gonna cut to the chase this morning. Everybody look up here at me for a moment. Please hear me. You may go through struggles and doubts. There may be times, and I have. We all go through periods like that. But I'm going to tell you something. If you want to know where you're headed when you die, deep down in your heart, you know. You may play the game. You may know the lingo. And you may come to church and do all that Christian people do. But when you lay your head down on your pillow at night and there's no peace deep down within, and there's no joy, and you really, I mean, you may make yourself read that book and you may make yourself come to church and you may make yourself write your tithe and you may make yourself be faithful and do this and that and be moral. You may can make yourself do all that. Muslims can make themselves do all kind of stuff. They bow down 3 times a day, head toward Mecca. I mean, they starve themselves and deprive themselves of good food. People can make themselves do anything. But do you think Muslims are going to heaven? No. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can. Listen, you ain't getting. Jesus said, I am the door. Not Allah, not Muhammad, not Confucius. No, Jesus is the way. And so I'm saying to you, if you want to know, you can know. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you've passed from death unto life. Do you know when I got saved? Brother Jackie, I didn't have to pump it up and prime it up and say, well, now that I'm saved, I'm going to have to love you. No, it was as natural as breathing. I mean, when Jesus saved me, he put a love in my heart for the brethren. And we know that we've passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. When I got saved, immediately, I fell in love with this book. When I got saved, immediately, nobody had to lasso me and pull me to church. No, I mean, it was just as natural as me getting up and putting my clothes on and brushing my teeth. And I go to church. Why? Because not because I have to, not because I'm the preacher. I go to church because he lives in me and he draws me. And I have a love for his house. Amen. If people have to beg you to come to church, I'm just going to tell you bluntly, you either lost or you are backslid as backslid can be. I've had people here since I've been pastoring here, and this ain't my first rodeo. I learned a few things at the last place I was at. And Brother Ned, I ain't begging people Amen. To come to church.
Amen.
I just ain't going to do it. And I've had people get mad. Well, the preacher just don't go visit people and when they ain't been to church in a while. He just won't go visit them and beg them. Please hear me, I'm not being mean. But if Jesus died on an old rugged cross for your wicked sin, ain't enough to get you up out of your bed and down to the house of God, what in the world do you think this sinner preacher is going to do for you? Now, you want somebody to stroke your ego and pamper and pet you, and that just ain't me. That just ain't me. You know why? Because it don't work. If I have to beg to get you here, I'll have to beg to get you to stay. But I'll tell you what will happen. If you'll fall in love with Jesus, if you'll let Jesus save your soul, and if you are saved, if you'll get close to him and you'll get your heart fixed, ain't nobody going to have to beg you to come to church.
Amen.
And every little headache you get ain't going to keep you out either. And I know, hey, listen, I'm glad to see the church full this morning. I ain't trying to run nobody off, but I'll tell you this. This COVID thing, it's about over. I know it makes you sick. I just had it, and I know others get sicker than others. But I'm going to tell you this. People have used this thing of COVID as a crutch to stay out of church. I mean, every time somebody gets COVID, it's like they out for a month or two. That strand of seriousness of COVID ain't been around in a year. Are you listening? Well, I know that ain't popular, but it's the truth. If you're saved, you should have a desire to come to church. If you're saved, you ought to have a desire to read that Bible. If you're saved, you ought to have a desire to give. If you're saved, you ought to have a desire to be around the brethren. Jerry, I love you. This boy had hip surgery. And his wife had to tie him down to keep him from going out and loading metal. Just a couple of days after hip surgery. She had to lasso him and strap him and keep him. Because you know why? Because he loves to work. And I'm not your doctor, and I wasn't going to tell you to quit working. But if you had a late out of church after I knew you'd been out there working, I was going to call you and tell you, you're a hypocrite. Wouldn't everybody agree with that? If he can go out and work all week long, and then he calls out, oh, preacher, I'm so sick and I'm hurting so bad, I can't make it today. That's how people do. It's like a mysterious thing. It's like a hazy green cloud just hovers in on Sunday morning, and people just feel like death warmed over. And then about 12:30 that afternoon, poof, it's gone, and they off to the rivers and off to the lakes and off to the golf course. And And then about 5:30 that evening, that haze falls right back in. Oh, I got COVID.
Yeah.
And it only lasts till the next morning. Then they up and ready, geared and gung-ho for work because they got to go make that almighty dollar.
Yeah.
I just want to say this and move on. You telling on yourself loud and clear who your God is. It's that greenback. I'm here to tell you, God's better to you than a dollar bill's ever been. God's been more faithful to you than your job's ever been. God, hey, listen, your company ain't never died and shed its blood for you. Your company ain't never picked you up from the bottom and rescued you and loved you when you were unlovable. And so until then, why don't you put it second and put God first and fall in love with Him? And be faithful to it. Amen. Say, so what's this got to do with this? Hang on, we're getting there. If you go to hell, deep down you know it. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Or do you know about Him? Keep that in the back of your mind. There's no excuse. You've heard preaching. Most of the people in this room, in this sanctuary, have heard enough preaching to save the world. All of us. Thank the Lord we've been raised where there's a church on every corner, where there's preaching anywhere you look. You don't have to go far at all or turn the dial far at all. You can hear as much preaching as you want. Are you listening? You've heard about Jesus your whole life. You heard how to escape the wrath of God and the wages of sin, which is death. You know that. And I'm preaching on you know. There's no excuse. The rich man knew. He knew. But he chose not to receive it. And I'm telling you this. You ain't going to trip into hell. You're going to choose. God don't send nobody to hell that don't want to go. Sir, ma'am, young person, deacon, young preacher, Sunday school teacher, pastor's wife, pastor's children, are you listening? You will not escape if you neglect this so great salvation. If you say no to Jesus, I don't care if you're the preacher. I don't care if you're the preacher's children. I don't care if you're part of the family. I don't care who you are, what position you hold. If you neglect the salvation that was paid for by heaven's blood, you will go to hell. You say, but a loving God, if I had a nickel for every time I've heard this, I've talked to people and they'll say, a loving God wouldn't send people to hell. I wouldn't bank my eternity on that flawed mentality. That's contrary to everything the Word of God says. Matter of fact, by the way, if that's your mentality, do you think a loving God would pour out His wrath on His darling Son of God who was perfect? The next time you think God's going to wink at your sin and just pull you right on up into heaven, living in sin, and your sin's never been forgiven or covered by the blood of Jesus, you say, God, just too loving of a God. He would never do that. You look to bloody Calvary and look at the wrath that He poured out on His Son, and it pleased the Father to bruise Him. And for your sin and for mine, He was bruised and beaten. And if He would do that to the perfect, darling Lamb of God, I promise you, the holiness of God demands and the justness of God demands that He will deal with sin. You're not going to piggyback your way into heaven. If you go to heaven, you'll go through the door. And by the way, you won't point your finger at God and shake your fist at God and say, I didn't hear, I didn't know, I didn't understand. God's made salvation so simple a child can understand it. Hey, listen, God put it on the bottom rung. He put it on the bottom shelf where childlike faith can receive it. You do understand. It's simple faith in His Son. It's simple faith. And listen, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's the gift of God. But I'll tell you what people want. People want to say, I'll put my faith in you, Lord. I'll put my faith in you. I want your love. I want you to be my Savior. I want your grace and mercy and love. I want all that. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. But you're leaving out one vital ingredient if you want to miss hell. And that's what the rich man had a problem with. It's what Jesus said twice in two different verses, a verse apart, verbatim. He said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And that's speaking of the second death, which is hell. There is no salvation apart from repentance. Amen. If there's never been a time where you had, I ain't talking about getting caught in your sin and feeling sorry for it and your conscience being bothered. I'm talking about a godly sorrow, a contrition of your heart to where you say, I've sinned against the holiness of God. I've transgressed the law of God. It should have been me on the cross when He was hanging there. It was for me. And if that don't bring you to a low place in your life where you're willing to say, I forsake my sin. I turn my back on my sin. Oh, God, forgive me, a sinner. You got to admit who you are. Not what you did, who you are, a sinner. And until you're willing to repent of that, the rich man was too high and faluty, too uppity class. He had all the money, he had all the lands, he had all the buildings and barns. And he couldn't bring himself to the place of saying, I'm wrong, and I'm a sinner in need. He didn't think he had a need. But I'm telling you, there ain't a person ever been born of woman outside of the Lord Jesus Christ that wasn't born with a need, an eternal need. We were born with a hole in our soul that only Jesus can fix and fill. And if you're willing to go to hell over not admitting who you are and what you are and repenting of that and turning from that and having a change of mind about how good you are to a change of mind of how bad you are and a change of heart and saying the only good in me is nothing. There's nothing within me that's good. The only thing good is Jesus, and I put my full faith and confidence and faith and trust in you, Lord, because I can't get there. I can't do it. And the rich man knew. He knew who Father Abraham was. He had heard the prophets. He had read the Old Testament. He knew. But he refused. Jackie, you winning. I ain't finishing. There are people listening to me preach this morning. There will be people that listen to this by way of internet, by way of radio, website, and there's multitudes that have heard time and time and time again that God loves them, that there's a Savior that died for them and shed His blood to wash away their sin, and time and time again that they better believe the gospel and repent, and yet they put it off, they procrastinate, they wait for a more convenient time. And they say, I will, just not today. And yet they put it off and wait for a more convenient day, and they do nothing with it, and they do their own thing, and they live their own life, thinking one day, surely, surely, I close right here this morning, but they say, surely, I'll fix this before I die. There's no way I'm going to go to hell. I've got more time. The rich man said, I've got everything. I've got some the best that money can buy. I can hire the best doctors. Even if I do get deathly sick, I'll bring in the best doctors and Susan. I got time. There's another portion of the Bible where the man said, I'm gonna build bigger barns, and the Bible said, thou fool, this day thy soul will be required of thee. Do you realize this could be the last church service you ever sit in? Not by choice. Do you realize the flowers could be at full bloom that'll set on top of your casket? Do you realize that the gas that'll be in the hearse that carries your body could already be there in full effect? The ink that'll print your name on your obituary could already be in the ink cartridge. I'm saying to you, you have no idea. Take a walk through a graveyard. It ain't just 70 and 80 year olds. They don't just make caskets this big. They make them this big. And they make them this big. And they're 4 year old. I've preached 2 year olds' funerals, and 4 year olds' funerals, and 13 year old funerals, and 18 year old funerals. I'm saying to you, it don't matter who you are. God has a day planned for you, and you better make sure that you not only know about the God of the Bible, but that you know the God of the Bible. And that He knows you. Because simply put this morning, the rich man knew the Bible. The rich man knew his brothers. Read it. He begged, send Father Abraham, send somebody to tell my brothers. Do you know why he was convinced they were coming to where he was? He knew his brothers. He knew his brothers were lost. He knew his brothers didn't have a... Hey, listen, they were just like him. And he ended up in hell. And so he said, whatever it takes, even if I never see them again, I don't want them coming to this place. This place is so bad. The torment is so real. Send somebody to tell my brothers. If you're in here this morning and you're lost, you are headed for that same hell that the rich man's been burning in for over 2,000 years. And beneath my feet this morning, he's still burning and screaming and begging. But I wonder if you're saved this morning. To those that are saved, I wonder if the rich man in hell has more of a burden for lost people than we do. I don't read one time, Brother Jackie, where he asked. He asked for some things. He said, can I have a drop of water? Then he asked, could somebody go tell my brothers? But I can't find nowhere in that Bible where he asked to get out. You know why? Because he knew the Bible. He knew his brothers. But he knew who was to blame for him being there. It was him. He sent himself there. You say, would God send me to hell? No, but he will, over his dead body, literally, let you send yourself.
Right. Amen.
Jesus has done everything possible.
Amen.
That you not go to a place called hell.
Yes. Amen.
He loved you to death.
Yes.
So that you wouldn't have to die and go to hell. So if you're saved this morning, please, I beg of us all, may we get the burden of the rich man that our family wouldn't go to a place like that. When's the last time you told that coworker that you're good friends with? I mean, you like them. They're a good person. I tell people this all the time. They too good of a person to die and go to hell. They just need to get saved. I mean, they're a good dude. They're a good old boy. They just need Jesus. You don't have to be a drunk to go to hell. You don't have to be a dope addict to go to hell. You can be a good boy, a good girl, a good man, or a woman. But you need, it takes more than good to go to heaven. And how many people do you know? This is Missions Emphasis Month. On Wednesday nights, we're doing soul winning class. Not so we can put more up here. Not so that we'll have more knowledge. But so we can put it in shoe leather
and go out in the highways and hedges and compel men, women, boys, and girls to come in and to hear the gospel, which is the power of God and the salvation. Do you know somebody? There should be faces scrolling across your mind right now. People who you know, if Jesus don't save them, they're going to die and go to hell forever. I'm right now done, but let me ask you this. Let me tell you how cold the church has got. Let me tell you how lukewarm the church has got. Let me narrow that down. Let me tell you how cold and lukewarm you've got. And me. When's the last time a tear's come out of your face? Of that cold, hard face over the fact that somebody you love and would do anything in your power is dying and headed for hell. It don't even bother us anymore. People used to lay on altars for all-night prayer meetings and weep puddles of tears, begging God to save their family and their friends. And now we wonder why nobody's getting saved. Now we wonder why the clutch of drugs and the clutch of addiction has so much power that we never see people released and delivered. Some comes by fasting and prayer, and it should bring tears to our eyes and a brokenness to our heart. And we beg, oh God, don't let my family die and go to hell. Oh God, do you know you're going to stand at the great white throne judgment? If you're saved, you're going to be there. I believe that with all my heart. You ain't going to be judged in that judgment, but we're going to be there. And listen, the last memory you ever have of that loved one, the last words you ever heard of that loved one, that mama, daddy, that child, that friend, lifelong friend, when they usher them in, bound hand and foot, and there we stand as witnesses, and they're ushered in to be judged, to hear those tragic last words, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." Bind them hand and foot and cast them into outer darkness. Yeah. And they'll squeal and scream and pitch fits and cry, looking at us in the eyes and their blood dripping from our hands. And they'll hate us and say, "Why didn't you ever tell me? Oh, you knew and you didn't tell me? You talk to me about fishing and baseball and you talk to me about work and everything under the sun, but if you knew, and now it's too late." And they'll hate you for eternity, and they'll hate me for eternity. And I plead with us all this morning, God, bring back the burden. Don't leave this morning if you're saved without getting a handful of tracts. You say, "I'm too nervous to talk and tell people." Let a track talk for you. You can at least hand a track. Put a track on a table with your tip in it. Go home and call somebody you love so dear that you worried about if they don't get saved. At least do your part that they wouldn't die and go to hell. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand together. If you're in here this morning, you're lost. Never been saved. Like the rich man, you know the Bible. You know it. You know the lingo. You know how to play church. Would you come? I'll be glad to take the Word of God and grab you by one hand and do my best to get Jesus by the other and introduce you. Would you come? If you need help this morning, you come to this altar, slip your hand up, and I'll help you any way I can. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. Nobody's going to embarrass you. But I wonder this morning,
God had me preach this message for a reason. I don't enjoy preaching messages like this, but God burdened my heart. I wonder this morning if there's somebody, be honest enough with God. Say, I don't want to wait till it's too late. I want to know that I know that I know that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Pray for me, preacher. Don't come to me. Don't embarrass me. But I want to know. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up in Jesus' name. Pray for me. Pray for me. God bless you. Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you. I'm getting ready to pray. God bless you, son. Is there another? God bless you. I see that hand. Thank you. I'm getting ready to pray. I don't want to miss you. Before I pray, would you slip it up and right back down in Jesus' name?
Help me to shine the light.
These altars are full. I'm about to pray as I promised you I would.
Lord, I know I can't.
I want to say this word to a Christian. Would you ask God to break your heart for your lost family and friends?
Bring back the burden.
Give you the burden. That we'd be witnesses for him. Some of you got children. God, don't intervene. God, help us. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I bow before you, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, as these that have raised their hand, Lord, saying they're lost, Lord, concerned about their soul, oh God, some young, some old. And I beg of you in Jesus' name, Lord, you'd save. Oh, God, I've tried my best to deliver the word this morning as you've put in my heart. But, God, I can't save anybody, Lord, but you can save anybody, Lord. I pray you would. Lord, be close. Be nigh unto them, Lord, that call upon your name. And do that holy work, God. Do that amazing, miraculous work that only you can, Lord. Save. To the uttermost, Lord. Lord Jesus, I want to say thank you from the depths of my heart for saving me. Lord, the greatest day of my life, Lord, I do not regret getting honest and humble before you and admitting what I was and who I was, a sinner in need of a Savior and a Lord. You've been the best Savior, the best Lord, the best friend I've ever had, Lord. And I ask you in Jesus' name, you make that so clear to that one, Lord, that's holding on to religion, holding on to some flimsy prayer they prayed that never changed their life. I'm sure the rich man prayed a prayer, but God, it didn't change his eternity. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name, make it real, Lord, make it real clear. Reveal yourself to that one that's nearest hell, Lord, save them. God, blaze a fire in our heart, God, that would stir us, oh God, that tears would drip, Lord, off our faces again for lost people. People we love, God, people we don't even know. God, their souls in the balance. I pray, oh God, you'd help us to get serious with you, Lord. God, the reason you left this church here, your church, God, is that we would get the gospel to a lost and dying world. God, that's why we're here. That's why you didn't just save us and take us right on to heaven. Lord, you left us here to be witnesses of you. And I beg of you in Jesus' name you'd help us to do that. Lord, you said in the last days men's hearts would wax cold. God, our hearts as a church, Lord, as a body of believers, Lord, our tears have dried up, Lord. Our hearts have got hardened. And I plead with you, break our hearts again, Lord, for Jesus' sake.